Welcome to Templeton Health Radio Show. Today I'm pleased to have back as my guest Dr. Eric Love, and today we're talking about a conversation about rescue remedy and the Bach flower remedies for healing yourself. There's a lot of trauma these days, emotional trauma, physical trauma, psychological trauma. A lot of people are going through a lot of stuff because we're in the midst of the ascension, and the Bach flower remedies are a great way to gently get yourself back on course. Thanks, Dr. Love, for joining us.
My pleasure. I'm honored.
So, for those listeners who may not know what the Bach flower remedies do, would you like to give a brief history of Dr. Bach and how he was guided to put these flower essences together?
You bet. Well, Dr. First of all, I'm on a headset. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Okay, if it starts to go out, let me know. I'll get on my regular cell phone.
Okay.
Dr. Bach was a British medical doctor who was very world-famous. He was a Harley Street specialist. Most elite doctors have their practice there. And he became a classical homeopath and became known as the leading classical homeopath in the world. And then God led him to these flowers on the British countryside, and he started giving them to his patients. And lo and behold, the patients would heal no matter what their disease was. Now, that was his experience in the 20s. And so he began to search for flowers and discarded a lot and pulled in a few. The first one he found was Mimulus, where it was written about him that if the person had fear and he gave them Mimulus, their disease would heal because they're you know, a person had a lot of fear, their disease was caused by the fear. And mm-hmm. This gets back to this concept that the emotional component is very deep and it's a root cause of disease, which is what he taught. And then the second was impatience, impatience, they call it in England. And he would give that to a person who's real impatient, and then the disease they had would heal if they were real impatient. So he found a total of 38 flowers. And each remedy, what it does, is that he prepared them homeopathically, and they're sold in most health food stores these days. And he died at, he had it together, I think, by 34, 32, and then he died at 1936. And what they do, Dr. Friend, who's a psychiatrist, studies with me, she says the action of the remedies is to stimulate and catalyze you to go ahead and work through the issues which are causing you the suffering and the pain and the disease and stuff like that. So they trigger you and catalyze you to go ahead and work through the stuff. Now, in a nutshell.
So let's talk a little bit about that mechanism. Dr. Amit Goswami calls it downward causation, and it has to do with multidimensional understanding of disease causation, which you can't really do if you just are in the third dimension only. So for those listeners who need to understand this is a spiritual concept involving multiple dimensions, and that at the higher levels of, say, there's a spiritual plane, which is really outside this dimension completely. There's a mental, there's a higher mental plane, there's a lower mental plane, there's an astral, and some people think that that's similar to the emotional plane. And then there's a physical plane, which is in the third dimension. And these are like she's on top of each other. So when there's a disturbance in the higher level, like sometimes we find out that disease is caused by a spiritual imbalance. Very interesting. A lot of hip disorders are due to a spiritual imbalance. And then a lot of other illnesses like knee injuries or knee problems can be due to not listening to your higher self or your conscience. So that could be a spiritual cause too. But then there's causes at the mental level, like a thought form that's not good, a thought form where you go around thinking you're better than everybody. And Barbara Brennan said that creates problems in the emotional body, and then it lodges at the level of the solar plexus in the physical, so you can be real prone to ulcers and abdominal things. So I just wanted to give that background because it's really important to know that downward causation exists and that even though you think you have a physical illness. Say you have an ulcer and you do an H. pylori test, it's positive for the H. pylori. Yes, the on the physical level, the bacteria is causing the ulcer, but what lowered the energy in your abdomen to allow that infection to take off?
Right. And I would even add to the law of downward causation that it's always there. Because it's body, mind, and spirit. Spirit means your spiritual. Mind means the emotional component. So like, which is in the mind, which is above the physical plane, as you say. And I would say it's just in the astral. It's above the physical plane. And so the mind is not in, it is in the body on the lower reaches, but the thoughts that you're thinking are above the physical plane. Anyway, so it's mental. It's high in a different dimension. So you need something very sophisticated to trigger you to go ahead and work it through and resolve it and rectify it and handle it and get it taken care of. So the point I'm making is that it's always there. Anytime you have a physical problem, there's always body, mind. So there's always an emotional component. Something that's not resolved. You're living with a man you don't love. You're working in a job you don't like. You were sexually abused as a child. You spent 5 tours in Afghanistan, saw a lot of people get killed. There's always an emotional component, and there's always a spiritual component, which means that you're not listening to the voice of your soul or the higher self or the voice of God, which is directing and guiding you. And actually, you're not in tune with what I call the Tao. And the Tao is what they call God in the East, but it's even more so because it's a flow of guidance and direction of what you should be doing and how you should be doing on a daily level, monthly level, et cetera. It's the flow, and life is much easier if you're with the Tao. And the way you get with the Tao is to get in touch with God and find out what is supposed to be going on with me. What am I supposed to be doing? Well, and get the guidance coming in. In the West, they call the Tao, they call it God's will or God's plan. So you go in the church and they all talk about God's plan. Nobody quite understands it because it has to do with the things that are going to keep you free of disease. Because if you're flowing with God's plan, you're not going and having sex with that guy down the road who ain't good for you.
Right.
You're not going and
energetically. Yeah, energetically, having sex with that person will lower the energy in your second chakra and make you more prone to bladder infections and kidney infections. And then eventually, if you keep doing it, you can even get cancer. That's really important to understand. Every cancer has a disrupted chakra significantly.
Yes. I had a woman, it was getting back to what we're going to talk about later on, is the rescue remedy. And healing the trauma from the childhood is a subject. And the Cherokee taught their children that between the age of 0 up to the age of 11, that's the inner child material. And between the age of 50 to 60, the inner child material comes up. So that's all the traumas you had up to age 11. Well, this lady, she came and she had cancer of the breast, cancer of the throat. Nobody would be able to help her. And she was natural. She was holistic. And she didn't want to go medical. And she asked me if I could help her. And I said, yeah. But what came up pretty quick was that her father had sexually abused her as a child, was having sex with her every week.
And I bet it was left-sided breast cancer, Eric. Left-sided breast cancer is when someone who's supposed to protect you betrays you.
Yeah, it would make sense because it's on the left side, but I don't remember that. But what happened is we used the Star of Bethlehem, which is a remedy for shock and trauma, to help her process the old traumas. Right. And then we worked with diet. But she had she healed her cancer within about 5 months. And she began to resolve for the first time in her life the traumas of the sexual abuse from the childhood. So then she was able to heal her disease. I had another woman to show how the downward causation happens. I had a student who told me, she said, "Dr. Love, my hair's falling out." I said, "Well, how long has your hair been falling out?" She said, "About 10 years." So I said, "That's terrible." And then as we got to talking, I said, well, you know, what happened to you 10 years ago? And she, oh, nothing, you know. And I said, I knew her older girl was 10 years. And so I said, did you have a cesarean? She said, oh, my God, I had two of them. And there was no one to help me. It was the most torturous time. I spent all this mm-hmm. time, and my mother didn't help. Nobody really helped me. It was the worst trauma of my whole life. I said, well, generally, a woman, her hair falling out is because of trauma. That's what I've learned through the years. So anyway, I had her on the STAR. About a month later, she called me, and she'd been on STAR for, I don't know, 3 months, something like that, 4 months. Mm-hmm. About a month later, she called me and told me that her hair's growing in perfect. And the girls, her children are putting their hands through her hair, and it's all, you know, oily and strong and healthy and everything. And I said, yeah, that's because you healed that trauma about when you had those cesareans. And that same lady asked me, she said, she was like real resentful, very bitter, and animosity. Now, that's going to produce disease. But what happened, she asked me, she said, my varicose veins are really bad. And she's a young woman. She's in her early 30s. And so I said, varicose veins are about resentment. Mm-hmm. And in the SAF, that's what it teaches. And so anyway, about 2-3 weeks later, so she'd been on it for about four, well, actually, no, she was on the resentment remedy, which is Willow, mm-hmm. for animosity and bitterness and resentment that you're holding inside, and anger. And about 3-4 weeks later, she called me and told me the varicose veins had gone away. And mm-hmm. she didn't sound so resentful. She had been processed, working through her resentment using that remedy. So that's yeah. how it affects the physical disease. And you always want to do physical treatment, but what's happening in our culture is nobody's doing the emotional and nobody's doing the spiritual. And a lot of times, if you just do the spiritual, if you just do the emotional, the physical will go away. I had a woman in Eureka, California, and I was taking my printing over when I had my school there, I have such horrible arthritis pain in my hands. It's so horrible. And she was telling me all about it. So I started talking. I went right to the mental and spirits. I said, well, girl, what happened to you? And how long you have it? Oh, it's been about 2 years. It happened 2 years ago. Well, 2 years ago, she owned this company. And the company failed. And so it was time for her to do bankruptcy. But she said, oh, no, I'm not going to do bankruptcy. I'm going to pay back all my debts. So for the last 2 years, she'd been working double time, up at night working, paying back these debts, causing herself so much stress, and ended up in her body as pain. So I gave her remedies about all that stuff, and then I came back. I don't know, it was 2-3 weeks later, a month, and it was all her pain was gone. And she said, I've decided to go and do the bankruptcy. I'm not working as hard anymore. I've decided to let all that go. So the remedies triggered her to go through those spiritual lessons. I mean, if you're a rich girl, I go, hey, go over and see the Dalai Lama. Hang out at the Dalai Lama's ashram. They will help you. But none of us have the money to do that. Richard Gere, he does. After he's done watching a movie or making a movie, he goes over and hangs out with the Dalai Lama at the ashram. He's been doing that for years, but none of us can do that. We're not rich movie stars. So you need to do that at home, right, with your mm-hmm. husband and your kids and your work and everything, to make that spiritual advancement and connect the dots and make that spiritual ascension inside yourself from the lower vibration up to the higher vibration.
I have something to tell you about the Dalai Lama. Do you remember the Olympics were here in the 1990s in Atlanta?
Uh-huh.
And the Dalai Lama was going to come to the Olympics, and they asked if he could stay at my house. But
you're
he ended up not coming.
Me.
Yeah.
Oh, my
God. Isn't that interesting? Yeah. I have a lot of spiritual connections with a lot of different things. But we were doing work for the monasteries at that time. So anyway, I might have met him.
That says so much about you. If he respects you that much,
well, I don't know if he does.
Really,
I just know
cool.
that they were inquiring if he could stay at my house because, you know, I had a house, and he obviously wants to stay somewhere that's very safe. And my house is very, very safe. It's sacred ground, so maybe that was part of it.
Yes.
So, wow. But anyway, that was interesting.
That is interesting. What an honor.
Yeah. But anyway, yeah, I was told not to go to the Olympics. This is a great story. I've got a great story about the Olympics. I was told not to go to the Olympics because I had invitations to go, and then I heard, no, don't go. And my friend, who was a paramedic, this is a wild story. One of my best friends is a paramedic, or was a paramedic, and during the Olympics.
Yes.
And he was the responder to the bombing. Remember the bomb that went off? Okay.
It turned out
that there were two bombs. And he walked by the second bomb, which did not go off, twice during his job. He walked right past it. And then we asked if part of the reason it didn't go off was it wasn't his time to die, and the answer was yes. He was right there.
Oh, my God.
Isn't that amazing? Yeah.
That's so
amazing. Well, and that brings up a point that we are highly, highly protected from even real significant things like bombs and car wrecks and whatever all the time.
Yes.
I mean, all the time. They change your route. They delay you.
Yes.
You know, the next time you walk out to your car and there's a flat tire, remember that might be to keep you from being in a serious accident.
Yes.
Yeah. So, you know, things can be delayed. Everything can be changed. And so if you're in an accident, chances are pretty good that that was allowed by your higher self.
Oh, well, it was karma. See, because Kirpal Singh, who was president of the World Fellowship of Religions, said that all the major events of human life are predestined.
They are.
So the diseases are all karmic. And what that means to you, as far as you healing it, is to figure out what it is that got its action and reaction. Somebody did in a past life. Who knows? We have thousands of past lives. We've always been the best of guys, been the worst of guys. And but what it means as far as healing is that we need to figure out what is it that God is trying to teach us. So if God puts us in a situation where we're fat, where we're skinny, where we're old, where we're young, where we're happy, where we're not happy, where we're rich, or whatever the situation, and then disease, you got the migraines, you got the back pain. There's a lesson. What is a lesson? Like with the back pain, I've owned three schools of massage. I've taught massage for forever. I'm still teaching hands-on work to a small degree. But all my students, I get rid of their body pain through the Bach remedies because we go to the root cause of what is causing the pain in their back or headaches, whatever, and they process that. And then the pain goes away. I had a woman who, she got in an accident, which again is karmic, and then from that point on, she had terrible body pain. She's a student, and she's completely free of pain. It took a while, but she's completely free of pain. But she let people take her energy. People were taking her power.
Right,
and the people that she loved were just sucking her energy left and right. So that doesn't happen anymore. In fact, she even yelled at one of her dearest relatives the other day to back her off. She didn't have any pain anymore.
Yeah. Let me just add a couple more things for the listening audience, just because I'm a trauma surgeon and I've seen this over the years. Wrist injuries are usually indicative of feeling lack of support. And back injuries, lower back, is usually where you wear your wallet. So if you're having financial problems, you tend to have lower back issues. So you'll pick up something that's not that heavy and then your back goes out, and then you're in pain for days. And nobody can really find anything. It's just that you're in pain. And then each finger has a spiritual meaning. The thumb is will. The index finger is faith issues. The middle finger is self-love issues. The ring finger is material things and money. And then the little finger is love and relationships. So I used to say that if I went to the ER and somebody had a thumb injury, they usually were drunk or otherwise doing something they shouldn't have been doing. Faith issues were usually spiritual people who were being told to do something by their higher self, but they just weren't following through. The middle finger was they told me how stupid they were for having the injury. And then the first question out of their mouth for ring finger is, how much is this going to cost? And then the little finger, they kept trying to pick me up.
Oh, my gosh.
Just in general. And the interesting thing is, I told this to the father of hand surgery. I had dinner with Dr. Kleinert. He's no longer with us, but he was really the father of hand surgery. And I told him that, and he's a very wise man. He looks up like he's remembering. He goes, Susan, I think you're correct. Isn't that great?
That's great.
I know. What I tell my patients with hand injuries is, please learn the lesson, because I don't want my surgery to fail, you know.
Yes.
I don't want you to get re-injured. I don't want my surgery to fail.
Right.
You know, I need to have good success here. I don't need complications. So you need to learn the spiritual lesson. And you know what? Nine times out of ten, they tell me I'm right. They said, how did you know that?
Right.
And I said, well, because it's a principle. You know, it's a spiritual principle. Downward causation.
Right, right. And it's always there. It's body, mind, and spirit. Always a spiritual cause and always an emotional cause. It's always there. But see, what happens in our culture is that, let me just add, the low back pain is also not only money, but it's not being supported. See, if you're not getting money, you're not getting support from other people.
Your basic needs aren't being supported, right.
Yeah, and you ended up giving to people. And there's I use Century for that, or Too Much of a Nice Guy. And I use a lot of Century for low back.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, what was I talking about? I forgot.
Well, I think you wanted to say Century is an important one to talk about, because a lot of spiritual people think they have to say yes to everything, you know, and you don't. You need to have boundaries. You need to know when to say no. And actually what you need to do is get spiritual guidance whether you should say yes or no.
Right. And you need to be able to say no. See, because what happens, a Century person is not able to say no. They always end up saying yes. And they're too nice. And there's more giving than there is receiving. And I tell everybody, I say, you know that thing they all say, that you need to be slightly more alkaline than acidic? They go, yeah. I say, well, you need to be slightly more receiving and giving to yourself than you are giving to other people.
Right.
And the Century person is more busy giving to everybody else. And so then what happens is the soul says, well, you know, you need to stop this. You need to do some personal growth, and you need to do some healing and make a change and quit being such a doormat. And so the soul then will use disease as a wake-up call. So they got the migraines, they got the foot pain, you know, whatever
you
it is.
You actually see that in breast cancer, too, where they take care of everybody else, they nurture everybody else, and then don't do their own spiritual growth and nurturing. And, you know, a lot of times you can look at the big picture. If the most important thing we do here is our own spiritual growth, and you're ignoring that, your soul will take you out because it's a wasted life, you know, and it'll just start over. You know, you'll just
get
reset.
And you get disease, because in the dark age that we're coming out of, going through the ascension and going into the age of enlightenment, where it's going to be easy to be enlightened, God has chosen through this dark age, all the way back to Alexander the Great, has chosen to use disease as a wake-up call to tell you, man, you got some spiritual work you need to do on yourself.
Right.
You've got some emotional work you need to do on yourself. And what happens, our society is so big into materialism, take the more drugs you take, the more materialistic you grow. Because you can't, if you're doing drugs, you can't move into the higher dimensions. They just lock it out.
Right, yeah.
And
that's why they call alcohol spirits. Because it attracts negative spirits.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's the mother of all drugs. So alcohol blocks. I get all my students off alcohol. If they say, well, I only drink once a week, that's all you need. It blocks your, if a guy's having a glass of wine once a week, then I go like, hey, your shadow side, we need to do some shadow work. And they go, my what? My what? They can't compute. When you're when you're off chemicals, then you'll be able to feel your shadow side. And see, feeling is what is closed. That's what I was going to say. Feeling is what is
closed
down.
Well, that's why people drink, is to cut down shame and, you know, bad feelings. That's why most people drink.
Yes, and that's why people take the Prozac,
you know.
And that's why people take the, see, because guys, oh, I'm so depressed, whatever, I need to go on Prozac. No, man, you need to go over, hang out with the Dalai Lama, learn the purpose and the meaning of life, learn to grow and change and become a new person. And that's what you do with Bach. So what happens is a person needs to get gung-ho about the healing and the personal growth. See, all the people with the healing of the holistic healing, the thing about the emotional component is like a new thing, because it's scary. People feel like if I open up that chest up in the attic that has all my pain in it that I've stepped down for so long, I'll go crazy. I won't be able to work. It's just so much pain. But they don't realize, especially with the remedies, you can open that stuff up and you can work on that stuff and you can heal yourself. And it isn't too hard of a thing. But our society has everybody convinced that it is, and there's no support. I had two women back in the 90s, back in Oklahoma, in a class, and both of them said that the one woman said she come in, her son had hanged himself. She saw it. The other one, now she had Bach remedies, rescue remedy, but the other woman didn't. Someone told her that her son had committed suicide. And both of those women were holistic, so they said, no, I want to process this. So they stayed at home, and after so many months, the girls were coming around saying, you know, you need to get out. You need to get back out into life, and you need to, you know, they, oh, no, I need to process this. So they were both at home processing. And then they said, well, you should take some Prozac. So you can push it all away. You can bury it, go into denial. They no. And so the question was, how long did you stay at home processing? And it was about 9 months. It was about 9-10 months for each woman. And then they had processed enough of it, and they were ready to come back into life. Processing is not what people do. People are against it. They don't want to do it. They're scared of it. But processing and working through your issues and working through your baggage and working through your junk and getting the spiritual lessons and connecting the dots and discovering yourself is where the real goal is. And that's where the healing is. It makes the healing happen in the body much faster. When I was in L.A., I was so honored to work on movie stars and presidential candidates and ambassadors. It was, like, really fun, and I was so honored. And I told everybody, I said, well, we'll get this is muscle tensions, what we're working on, and stress. And I said, I was doing deep massage. I said, well, we'll get rid of your muscle tension on a lasting basis. And we could do that within 10 sessions with everyone. I spaced them out one every 2 weeks because I was using Bach, and I could treat the workaholic, and I could treat the sentry, the person who's overgiving. I could treat the issues of the life, person's life, where they were able to heal those, which was the cause of the muscle tension. I do the deep massage. I was good at it. I've been doing it for a long time. But you give someone a treatment, even a chiropractor, you give someone a treatment, and it comes back. Well, what would happen there if it didn't come back after so many sessions and they change? It didn't come back. So the chiropractors that I've taught who do chiropractic, the joke is, how many chiropractors does it take to change a light bulb? So, well, it takes only one, but it takes over 300 visits. The chiropractor, well, and with the emotional component, how many therapists does it take to change a light bulb? And the answer is, it takes only one, but the light bulb has to really want to change.
Right.
Well, the chiropractors tell me that they don't have to give so many sessions to the patients, because when they're using the Bach remedies and they're treating the root cause of where the subluxations are coming from, the back pain's coming from, then the person heals it with far less treatments. I had one chiropractor come to a class to give a talk. He grabbed 14 case histories of people out of the files. He gave everybody Bach. He'd study with me. And he grabbed 14 case histories, and all 13 of the 14 healed up with no problem, and they heal much faster, he said, than I would. He said, if I were to use just chiropractic, these people healed up more thoroughly and more faster. Mm-hmm. That's what he said. It's really interesting.
Yeah, it is. Well, why don't you go through something?
I have a poem
okay.
for later, if you want.
Okay. Why don't you go through some of the other remedies that and what they do for the listening audience?
Well, the first and most important is rescue remedy.
Uh-huh.
Because the secret is, and I'll talk more about this in January, but in it, because I've discovered this, and it is just so cool to know this, and if you get behind it and use it and try it, you'll find out that what I'm saying is true. Mm-hmm. One of the greatest causes for suffering of the human race is that we've all had such a difficult life. There's so much pain we've taken in. There's so much hurt that we've taken in. So much rejection. So much where people have destroyed us and hurt us. And those things are called traumas. And rescue remedy over time, which in January I'll show you how to use that. Rescue remedy over time, the person will begin to heal the traumas of their life. And that, it's sort of like, so first we're going to give you some remedies, but first let me put my arms around you. Let me hug you. Let me tell you that everything is okay. Let me hug the part of your heart which has been so beaten and destroyed and beat down through your life. That's what rescue does. It helps to resolve the trauma, which is the extreme upsets of your life. And I have students put that in a water bottle and just sip on that all day long. The more you sip on it, the faster the engine of healing is that happened. No, I only have one person that liked rescue. Everybody loves rescue remedy. So you're like really safe with that. Mm-hmm. But you've got remedies for, you mentioned Century. Century's part of a group called the, and we'll get into how to use that rescue remedy in January, because it's like a big announcement that I have. My discovery that the source of human suffering is based on trauma. Especially the inner child trauma, because so many traumas, we come from dysfunctional families, and some were beaten, sexually abused, and some were not given the love they needed and held and given affection and rejection and all the stuff in the early years of the childhood. The Century's part of a group called the self-esteem group. So if you have issues with self-esteem, there's 9 remedies that go for that you can take. And what will happen is you'll begin to work through the issues about the self-esteem from the childhood and from the traumas of your life and process those issues to get your self-esteem. One of those is LARCH. LARCH is a remedy for confidence. I had a student who was a chiropractor in the 80s. Yeah, it was in the 80s in Santa Monica. And he told me, he says, "Oh, Dr. Levy, I just don't feel like I'm confident. I'm just not confident at all." All the other chiropractors, they've written books, they're experts in nutrition, and I just don't feel like I really have what it takes, that I'm as good as them. Well, he actually took my 4-month in-house class every Wednesday night for the 4 months, and he went and took it a second time. But he was on LARCH the whole time. At the end of that 8 months, the man was rolling in confidence. He had totally resolved the confidence issue.
Okay.
So LARCH is for confidence. Centuries for boundaries and assertiveness, so you can speak your truth. A lot of times people have throat problems. It's because they're not able to speak out through the throat their truth and say what they really feel. People dominate and control them, sucking their energy, using them as a feeder, feeding off of them, and using them as a dumper. They're dumping on them, dumping their negative energy on them. So people are using all the shielding remedies. You drop people who are using you as a dumper and a feeder. The second one is walnut.
Oh, can I interrupt for a minute?
Yeah.
There's an awful lot of spiritual workers right now, light workers, who were tortured or otherwise falsely imprisoned or all sorts of stuff in previous lives because they spoke their truth.
Yeah.
And so in this life, they have problems speaking truth because they're subconsciously worried that they're going to get punished. And,
yeah.
You know, and actually some in the U.S. now, that's much more common to have that happen because we're not living
yes.
in a free state like we used to have much more freedom.
God bless America.
Speaking out certain things now can get you killed and can get you injured or even
yes.
falsely imprisoned, whereas it wouldn't
yeah.
have before, and there's even concern about drone attacks in the U.S.
Yes. Yeah, and if there's any problem, of course, we know the Russians did it.
You're right.
Okay, anyway.
I mean, that's so laughable. And let me educate the audience. Assange, who runs WikiLeaks, said it wasn't the Russians.
Oh, yeah.
Don't you think he'd know? It was WikiLeaks that it was leaked to. And, you know, I mean, the American public is so blinded by the lies on mainstream media that they don't even listen to what the experts. I mean, Assange would know exactly who did it.
Yeah.
I mean, he can't say
report,
because
Alex
it's confidential,
Jones,
but
Breitbart.
He can say who it isn't, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I
so
agree
anyway,
with you.
It's crazy.
And, I mean, I don't listen to CNN. I mean, I'm done with the mainstream media. I'm done with them. God bless.
Well,
him.
I think
Alex
that's
going to
change. Hopefully the powers that be behind the mainstream media are going to have other more pressing problems, more personal pressing problems, and will quit trying to manipulate things so much.
Well, God willing, because the American people have spoken, and America's waking up, and when we wake up, the demons, you know, it's almost like we're in a all the Christians say a spiritual warfare.
It is a spiritual warfare. I mean,
yes.
it's crazy. But you know what? The government has to quit lying to the American people. I mean, knowingly lying. Not just, you know, not just twisting the truth a little bit so things don't, you know, go a certain way. I'm talking about just lying, flat out lying. And let me tell you something about lying, about downward causation and lying. When you lie, you weaken your energy system. That's the basis of all applied kinesiology. But it's much more. Yes. Every time you lie, you lower your vibrational level. And every time you lower your vibrational level, you're more likely to get really the crap knocked out of you when this event occurs that sparks the ascension. The event that sparks the planetary ascension. So every time you lie, every time you manipulate, it's going to come back on you personally.
Yes, I definitely agree.
Because you injure your own chakra system.
Truth
is
what you want.
And people just don't get that.
Right, well, because we're a nation of lies. Everybody's living off of lies. The first lie you want to handle is the lie where you lie to yourself, which means to discover your truth.
Exactly.
To learn what your truth is.
And, you know, if you don't know something, the answers are known. You can ask for spiritual help. You can ask to learn the true answer.
Yes.
You can learn muscle testing, and you can get yes or no answers to questions that Spirit wants you to know. I mean, there's some answers that you can't get, like, when am I going to die? That generally isn't going to be told to people. But most things, you can determine if somebody's lying to you. You can determine if things are as they seem or if they're not as they seem. And we just have to ask Spirit for help. They're there to help us.
To find your truth. Now, you've also brought up another subject, whether someone is lying to you. See, what happens in the emotional component is we have these patterns. We have these blueprints from the traumas of the past where we draw people who lie to us or draw people to save us, draw people dominate us, draw people use us as a dumper and a feeder. The solution to that is what's called the shielding remedies, and that's what we're discussing. Even the Roman soldiers, they all had a shield, so when they're shooting arrows at them, the soldier gets behind the shield, and then those arrows hit them, and then when the arrows are all depleted, then they close in with the enemy. What happens is that with the self-esteem remedies and the shielding remedies is that you're not shielded and protected enough. So people take your power. So if you, like I had a student the other day who was telling me how tired they were and how upset they were and stuff, and I said, well, let's talk about what happened during the last couple of days. And we found how people had stabbed them and cut them and hurt them and taken their power and drained them, and that's what caused her to be depressed and everything. So like you've got all these nine shielding remedies where the good Lord teaches you how to go and pick up your shield. And you, in order to do that, you have to work through the patterns that laid all that in from the past. Because if you don't, the dragons or the traumas inside will shapeshift, and they'll go to someone else. It'll be your mother taking your power this week, your husband next week, your boss the next week.
Right.
So,
that's true.
So the next remedy is walnut. Walnut is your general Walnut is your general remedy for protection, especially from big outside influence. So that's where you have a big monster.
That's what I need right now, walnut.
I wanted to talk to you about that. We'll talk afterwards because walnut is your
will.
Big protection.
That's what
remedy.
I need. I also need a shielding remedy for people lying to me because I know when they're lying. I know exactly when they're lying. It's like them playing. And then why would they lie to me? They know I'm clairvoyant. They know
the reason,
that I know that they're lying. It's crazy.
The reason
that
they're
too.
Lying to you is, and this is a secret. This is the secret of the secret. The reason they're lying to you is because there's something inside of you that draws that kind of person to you. It's an old patterns from the past. Because we look at the external and say, oh, the external is so screwed up. My husband's so screwed up. But the truth is, there's something inside of you that's drawing that kind of person to you. As you heal,
I'm ready for that person to go away.
So we'll talk about that afterwards.
Okay.
Walnut, I'll tell you a walnut story. I had this woman, she was she bought this practice in physical therapy and paying the guy $1,000 a month. He's all mean. He's all crazy. He comes in yelling all the time and treating everybody bad. He was ripping stuff off the machinery off the wall, and I was scared for her. And I said, well, let's use some walnut. I put the walnut in. I swear to God, within about 2 weeks, she told me she's leaving her alone. He doesn't come in anymore. And he completely went out of her karma. And that was, that's the walnut we have. I had one woman, she totally dominated by her mother. She dominated by her father, too. But it's like at one moment, it's her mother dominating, controlling her, dumping on her. That's a walnut. Mm-hmm. So we used the walnut, and she broke away from her mother. That's a walnut. It's like really cool. Yeah. It's also for change, adjustment to change. But it's for the when you have a big person facing you down, beating you up, lying to you, hurting you.
Yeah.
And then you have agrimony. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. And this is new information. And all you guys out there in radio land, get a pen and write this down. Any pain, use agrimony. You'll come back in about a month. Ask the person, you still got pain? You got pain? Doesn't matter what the pain is.
Mm-hmm.
They'll say, oh, my pain is better. And you just keep on agrimony until it's gone. And what the deal with the pain is, and here I am, I've owned 3 schools of massage. I've been working with people with pain for a long time. So here's the secret of the pain. It's a secret no one knows. God gives you pain, lets you have pain as a wake-up call to let you know that you are being destroyed by someone, somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Someone's destroying you. So what happens is when you, I had a woman, and agrimony is the main remedy for pain, because agrimony is like you don't deal with your emotional pain. You don't deal with your emotional pain. You don't deal with the people that are hurting you. Then it's going to go down the body as physical pain. So, and the other rule with the emotional component is 90-95% of the time it's invisible. You can't find it. You can't see what's going on. So she says, I don't know why I have the fibromyalgia. I said, well, and I took her case. She was a sentry person, so she was too nice. And she says, I just hurt so bad all the time. I have no idea why. Well, in a month's time, she said, Dr. Love, I know why. And I gave her walnut, and I gave her agrimony, I gave her others. And she said, I know why. I said, well, why? She said, my husband dumps his negative energy on me, and I take it on.
Right.
I said, oh, my God. Well, we did the process. We did more remedies. About within the next month, she came and told me, you know what happened? I sat down and told my husband. He's a Christian man. He's a good man. He's so sad about my pain. He says, my God. He says, I can't believe I'm doing that to you. She said, well, I want you to stop it. She's now assertive. She's able to speak her truth. She knows her truth. She's speaking her truth. I want you to stop it. And he says, my God, with God's grace, I will stop it. And he stopped. She says, he stopped it. He didn't do it anymore. And I said, well, let me ask you, do you have the pain? She says, no, it's totally gone.
Right.
So agrimony is your remedy for pain. It doesn't matter who it is. If somebody got pain, give them agrimony.
Okay.
The second thing,
well, that's good to know.
it helps them get in touch with their emotions.
Right.
The pain, the process of people that are hurting them. Because first of all, before you fix it, you got to figure out who's doing it to you, and then what the pattern is.
You sure did.
It in. And then the second thing you use agrimony for is for drugs. If a person's taking mm-hmm. drugs, you give agrimony, eventually they'll get off the drugs. Well, I had a student, she's smoking cigarettes, smoking since she's almost 60. She's been smoking ever since she's 12. I mean, that's like laid in, stuck like a rock. And so we used the agrimony, and she's completely mm-hmm. free of cigarettes.
Great. And, that's really good information.
Totally, yeah, because one of the things you got to do with the healing is get everybody off drugs. The medical drugs, I say, just have your doctor get you off. This one lady went to her psychiatrist, I want you to take me off the Cymbalta. She said, why? She said, well, I'm not depressed anymore. So I tell everybody, go to your doctor, put you on those drugs, and have them get you off. If you don't need it, you don't have diabetes, well, why take the diabetes meds? If you can sleep, why take a sleep med? And let the doctor do that. And the other thing about agrimony is agony, torture, and torment, which means that I'll ask you, do you have agony, torture, and torment? And then a lot of times I'll just feel you because all the things you're telling me, I say, oh, man, that's just, all that stuff's like really torturing you. So then we'll use agrimony, and you come back in a month and say, well, are you so tortured emotionally? And they'll tell you, no, not so bad anymore. Eventually it'll go away. And then the agrimony used to get in touch with your feelings. I have some of my students that just never felt. They were raised in a culture where you're never allowed to feel deep emotions. Our whole culture doesn't feel deep emotions. You end up giving agrimony to a lot of people. So I said, well, just write your emotional pain down. Well, I do this with all my students. I said, write it down if you want and send it to me in an email. I'll read it. And so every day, every couple of days, I get about 3 or 4 pages from him, all this emotional pain. And I'm getting less, as he's taking agrimony, I'm getting less and less of those emails because he's healing his pain. So that's agrimony. Wonderful, wonderful. Oh, my God. And then you've got...
Well, we're coming up. Do one more, and then we'll do your palm. We're coming up to the end of the hour.
Okay. And I also want to tell people about my classes.
Okay.
Mimulus. Mimulus is really cool. Mimulus is a remedy for fear. Fear about the future. Fear about worry about money. Fear about worry about disease. Angelina Jolie, they had them remove her breasts because her mom had the breast cancer. Then the next year, she had them remove her uterus and her ovaries because her grandmother had cancer there. So people had this great fear of disease. Anything of the world, if it's worldly fear, you use mimulus. And I have students that worry about money. I put them on the mimulus, and after a month, two or three, I get an affirmations. There's a book I have them read about, prosperity. And after a few months, 2 or 3 months, the people, they're telling me they don't have the fear anymore. They've actually worked it through. So mimulus is really it's a cool remedy. And this age, this period, 2010 to 2020, I would call it the age of fear. There's so much fear. My God, you just turn on the mainstream media, you're just scared to death by the time you turn it off.
Well, it's even in the alternative media. I mean, people are just, like, going crazy about all sorts of stuff. I mean, what you have to remember is that we really are protected. I mean, you don't have to believe everything you read.
Well, and the real solution is to find peace inside, tranquility, harmony, and calm and peace inside yourself.
Right.
And the way you do that is to resolve the issues and baggage and garbage and junk and crap and stuff that you have inside yourself.
Right.
And that's what I teach.
Yeah. Well, give information about your contact information in your classes.
Okay, if you want to study with me, if you want to learn, just call me up and we can talk about it, see if it's appropriate for you. And I do have a few openings. And what I do with each student, it's a one-year program. We give certified homeopath, certified nutrition consultant, homeopathic certification in the treatment of animals, and a certified herbalist. And I set beside you each week. We talk for an hour or longer. I always schedule 2 hours with each student. And we'll talk for an hour or more. And we talk about your stuff. And I give you remedies, and I help you learn how to the gateways and doorways of the processing, how that works, and help you to learn, because you learn the healing of everybody else, you learn about yourself. So I sit beside you and hold your hand, and I'm there with you through the year. Some people study with me 2 years. I've got people studying with me 3 and 4 years, because we just keep going deeper and deeper and healing more and more. But it's set up as a one-year course. There's some books you read. It's primarily that. You just pick it up when we talk, and then after a while, after a few, 2, 3, 4 months, then we start treating other people. We're giving remedies to your husband and your kids and your girlfriends and stuff, and you just pick it up. You'll just pick it up and learn it, and you'll be real good at it. It's a true apprenticeship. There's no apprenticeships anymore. This is a true apprenticeship. You and I, we just hang out together, and I love you and hold you in my arms and support you and teach you. I wish we could be standing on the steps of the Parthenon in ancient Greece and stuff like that, learning philosophy, you know. It's a deep apprenticeship of a deep spiritual and emotional healing inside yourself. And I do have a few openings for students, if anyone is interested.
Oh, great.
You can call.
Well, yeah, you said you had a poem you wanted to read.
My poem, yeah. And my phone number, let me give that, 406-585-0774, 406-585-0774, and drericlove.com.
Great.
And then it's got my email address. You can email me, too. I wrote this the other day. Do you ever wonder who you really are? You ever ask those questions of yourself? Maybe late at night, or in the darkened moonlight or the hidden shadows of the light. So much you do not know about yourself, and how and why you breathe so gracefully and long, and the secret meanings and the whispers of your heart, soft across the desert to the purpose life.
Great. Thanks for sharing that.
Yeah, I wrote that the other day. I didn't realize I was going to read it.
Oh, great. Well, we're coming up at the end of our hour. Is there any message you'd like to give people?
Yes. Let me read this quote from St. John of the Cross. Let go. So you want to let go and turn everything over to God. And let me read you this from St. John of the Cross. In order to arrive at, in order to arrive at having pleasure in everything, desire to have pleasure in nothing. In order to arrive at possessing everything, desire to possess nothing. In order to arrive at being everything, desire to be. St. John of the Cross, turn it over to God. Let go, surrender, turn everything over to God, and pray and ask for guidance and help. God will help you and teach you.
Right.
God is the great teacher.
Great. Well, thank you. Well, we've been interviewing Dr. Eric Love today on the Rescue Remedy and the Bach Flower Remedies. Thanks a lot for joining us, Dr. Love.
Very honored, Dr. Cole.
And you're going to be back on the show the 28th of January, and we'll be talking about healing the emotional component.
Yeah, I'm going to be releasing new information.
Right. Now, next week, we've already done this interview. It's a pre-record. Elena Ka, Awakening Cosmic Reality Show, a discussion about ascension. And then David Hanscom is on. He's a orthopedic doctor. Back and control, non-surgical treatment of back disease and back pain. And then Dr. Hildegard Staninger is back on talking about global brain chip and mesogens on the 7th of January. Thank you very much for joining us. This is Dr. Susan Kolb with Temple of Health Radio Show.